Welcome, everyone, to our World Peace Diet. This is the World Peace Diet Circle, and the World Peace Diet Circle teleconference call for February 16th, 2017. Gosh, it's so great to be with you all and to have this opportunity, safe space for us to explore the whole interconnection of our treatment of animals for food and other products, and our treatment of each other and the earth, our inner peace and outer peace, health on all levels, and to question all of the official stories that we hear not only outside us in the media, but also in our own thoughts very often, I think, and to wrestle, I think, in a way, really, in many ways, with the situation that we find ourselves here in a meaningful way to make an effort to live our lives authentically and to contribute to the healing of our world and to awaken intellectually and emotionally and spiritually and culturally, contribute to that awakening. So I'm really grateful to each and every one of you. I know if you're on this call, you're already pioneers in this journey to the, what the land is that we're pioneering to. I think a positive future definitely is possible and is beckoning us. And the foundation of that, of course, is nonviolence. It's refusing to participate in the devastating effects of the abuse and exploitation and oppression of other living beings, other human beings, and especially, of course, non-human animals. And so it's great to see that there is an awakening happening. I think this is becoming clearer and clearer all the time, that this divergent spectacle of our society where we have on the one hand, the seemingly completely out of control devastation to the environment, to oceans and rivers and rainforests and aquifers and climate and everything we depend on, really, soil, animals, wildlife, genetic diversity, and so forth. And then politically, also, the conflicts that seem to be escalating. And then on the other hand, there's definitely, I can feel this, and I think we see evidence of an awakening humanity that is becoming more and more committed to connecting with our wisdom, with each other, and forging a new path. So this is it. Here we are. 2017. I usually like to start our time by just taking a minute briefly to turn our attention within. So let's do that if we can now, wherever you happen to be. If you're free to close your eyes, that's, I think, always a little nicer. But in any event, either way, it's fine. And just as we turn our attention within, taking a moment to breathe and feel into the ancient wisdom that is singing and shining in our cells and in our bones, of our interconnectedness with the whole pulsating web of life on this earth and throughout the universe, that we are always in the same ocean, manifestations of the same life, sharing the same deep yearning. And we give thanks for this precious opportunity of a human life. We give thanks knowing that compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. The truth of eternal compassion encircling the earth, blessing all living beings. And that compassion is a force within our consciousness yearning to relieve the suffering of others. And that we open our hearts to that. And we give thanks for all the efforts that are being made by so many people, not just people, by all beings. I saw this wonderful video. Some of you may have seen it. I think it was going around last couple of days on Facebook of this cat walk. Somebody took a video of this. It's a cat looking down, and this little puppy is stuck. It can't climb out of this pit. And this cat watches for quite a while. It's this little puppy who's very small, can't climb out. And then finally the cat jumps down, and the puppy kind of goes away. And she goes all the way down, and she finally grabs this little puppy by the scruff of the neck and carries him all the way out of this pit and brings him up to safety again. So I saw that, and I just thought, you know, it's so beautiful to see this kind of caring. It was a cat that wasn't just only caring about her kitten, her own little kitten. It was a whole different species. And so I think within the fabric of our consciousness, we see that there's this compassion encircling not only the earth, but encircling our hearts for all beings everywhere. And that we're no longer going along with systems of devastation and exploitation. We're creating alternatives. And this call that we have every third Thursday of the month is an opportunity to build the network of light and compassion in our world, and to contribute to the understanding that we have, and to share the understanding. So we give thanks knowing that all our efforts are weaving together, sending light and awareness into the infinite web of relations, and that we are together creating a world where peace and justice and freedom are possible on this beautiful and abundant earth. And so it is. Thank you again for taking time out of what I know are very busy lives to be with us on this call. And I'm going to try to do a better job than I did last week in keeping my eye on the little thing I have on my computer screen that shows that my microphone is actually working and the phone is actually connected. Because that was I really apologize for that last month. That I was talking along and I didn't realize there's only one way to tell, and that's by looking at this little graphic here. So I'm going to keep my eye on that and make sure the phone is connected. And remind everyone that if you are interested in asking a question or sharing an idea or making a comment, the lines are open. It's just press *6 on your phone, and that will alert me, and I'll be able to unmute your phone. I'm happy to do that. This is our time. I'm tempted sometimes to have outside guests come on. I probably will next week. I have a few people that I think would be great. Next month. It would be great to have with us special, you know, sort of experts in their field. I think next month we'll have Mary Finelli. I'm not sure if people know Mary Finelli, but she's an old friend of mine who's started Fish Feel, and she's been running that now for a few years. It's really the only organization dedicated to compassion for fishes and for aquatic animals and reducing our massive, talk about how, if there's any beings on this earth that are more devastated, there aren't. I mean, fishes are really, by the billions, killed every single day. It's just enormously, it's just mind-boggling the volume of fishes, both aquatically farmed in aquaculture operations, which are just horribly toxic. And I was just reading an article the other day, which is one of the reasons I wanted to talk to Mary, have Mary on our show, so we'll get into this next month, but sea lice. I talk about sea lice in the World Peace Diet, but there was just an article the other day about the sea lice in Scotland have gotten so thick and so bad that they're just eating these poor salmon who are caught in, who are raised in nets off the coast of many countries. There's these vast clouds of sea lice that just eat these poor fish, the outside in. They really, they're so many of them that they the fish can't escape. They have nowhere to go. And so they're trying all kinds of things to kill these sea lice, which are toxic and devastating. And then any wild, of course, salmon in the oceans in the area, they're getting also attacked by sea lice as well. And we just see, this is just one of literally thousands and thousands and thousands of negative, devastating effects of animal agriculture on our oceans and on our ecosystems. It's really astonishing, actually, when we see the impacts when we're going against the natural harmony of life, when we're not living our purpose, when we're stealing the purposes of others, when we're exploiting and owning other living beings. We not only devastate them on every level, but we're even more devastating to ourselves. And I think that's why it's so important for us as vegans to do the best we can every day to share and embody. I think those are the two key words. Embody the vegan message, to live what veganism is, and then to share these ideas with others in whichever ways we feel are our way to do it, you know, our most effective for us, whether it's through, like, we have people, wonderful people doing radio shows and doing online radio, audio, video, and cooking classes, and writing, and sharing, in so many different ways. So anything we can do to help bring this message, not only, I think, physically, but also I think there's definitely a place metaphysically. You know, we have the Worldwide Prayer Circle for Animals every day at noon. People all over the world, thousands actually of people, we've lost track. We have this online map, but it keeps resetting. So people who sign up, when it gets to, I think, 500, it starts over again. So we don't know how many, but there's a lot of people who have signed that onto that over the years. And we say the prayer that I mentioned earlier, compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. And I think as we tune into what that's really saying, we realize that this compassion is not only within our human hearts, but it's even beyond humanity. It's a force, a fundamental force. And so I think as we, in our short lives on this earth, begin to tune into our purpose here, we can begin to see that our lives definitely make a difference, and make a huge difference. So thank you all so much for your efforts. No effort is ever lost. I had the opportunity, a couple of things I wanted to cover briefly, and then I'd like to open it. So think seriously, if you have any questions. I did get one question in a variety, a couple of different ways during the last month. Some people sent me emails and asked me to address this particular question. It's kind of a deep question. Or broad, I guess is maybe a better word for it, a broad question. And so I think I will address it. I wanted to say, before I jump into that, that I had the opportunity this afternoon, actually, to watch some of the new film, What the Health, by Kip Anderson and Keegan Kuhn, who are the ones who made Cowspiracy. And as you all know, Kip Anderson went through our Wilpy's Diet training a few years ago before he made Cowspiracy, and now they've been working for the last couple of years since they came out with Cowspiracy. They've been working hard on this new film, which I have to say, from what I saw, and I've only seen probably 10% of the film. I have the whole thing. I just didn't have time to watch more. And Madeline, right now is in Switzerland. She's been visiting her mother for the last 9 days. She'll be flying back here tomorrow. And her mother is, you may remember and be aware, is 97 years old and still doing okay. She's getting up there. It's very, you know, it's typical. Mellon said she wishes that everybody's mother would just live forever. You know, it's very hard when we lose our mothers, and we can see it's sort of inevitable on a physical level that this is happening. And of course, the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, the word lama, la means precious and ma means mother. So the whole idea is that when we're a spiritual teacher, in a sense, is someone who's has a motherly attitude toward others, a sense of kindness and compassion, as we've been discussing for for others a sense. There's no greater or more pure love probably than the love of a mother in the sense of just giving for this little being who is a lot of trouble, and this caring and patience, which is really the ideal that I think for us as vegans to emulate. And so I know as physical mothers, we very often probably fall short of that ideal. But the basic idea is that we can, all of us can work on that, whether we're male or female mothers or not. And so anyway, Madeline's in Switzerland, and so I didn't really want to watch it by myself without her, but I started seeing some of it this afternoon. And the movie, What the Health, is really, I think, going to be very, very helpful in our society. Just like Cowspiracy has been very helpful. It's been translated into many languages. It continues to be seen by thousands of people constantly. It's still, you know, really getting out there in a big way. And I think What the Health is going to be similar because it follows that same genius, really, that Kip and Keegan pioneered with Cowspiracy. The basic storyline is really similar, and it's very persuasive, really. I mean, because it's like we say, actually, in the World Peace Diet Facilitator Training, that the most effective way, really the only effective way, ultimately, to share the vegan message is to live this message and to share our own story, our own perspective, as our own understanding, rather than to try to prove people wrong or judge them or criticize them. And so that's what the health does. It's basically Kip talking about how from the time he was a little kid, he was really concerned about the health of his family, that his father had heart attacks at the age of 49, at the age of 50, both of his grandfathers died of cancer. Diabetes was running in his family. He was constantly taking things to prevent this from happening to himself, and how he began to realize that food plays a big role, actually a central role, in the most devastating diseases of our time. And yet, when you know, he goes onto the web page of the Diabetes Association, the Cancer Foundation, whatever, you know, in the Heart Association, and there's nothing really recommending that people go vegan, eat less, to stop eating animal food. Of course, this is well understood by research, and so he's got wonderful interviews with Neil Barnard and Joel Kahn and Michael Clapper and Michael Greger and I'm sure many others, and as well as statistical, you know, great graphics. I mean, the graphics are fantastic. The humor is everywhere. It's funny. And what's so funny is that and then going into the, you know, trying to get into the headquarters of the cancer, or the headquarters, and how they won't let him in, or if they do let him in, they won't talk about it, or if he does talk about it, they say, what about, no, we don't talk about diet. It has nothing to do with it. The same thing, really, that we saw with Greenpeace and with Rainforest Action Network and with 350.org and so forth, you know, the environmental groups, and how they just absolutely will not make the connection to animal agriculture, and how the big associations and organizations that we give donations to be watchdogs and to help us with our health, how they are not actually interested in that. They're really interested only in continuing their own existence and in a sense hiding the information that's vital and the suffering, the absolute suffering that people endure. Besides the suffering that the animals endure, which is astronomical, but the suffering that people endure when they have their feet chopped off because of diabetes and I don't have to go into it, but the suffering people go through, having bypass surgeries and medications and everything else, it's enormous. And one of the things I've realized, you know, people, Lily actually is well known for saying that there's the front door and the back door and the side door and all, you know, into veganism, and that and that coming through the main door of veganism is compassion for animals, and that some people come to veganism through the side door, which is caring about their health. And I totally agree with that, of course, that, you know, that the fundamental motivation in veganism is our concern for others, and that's really what cements, I think, the motivation, because as long as my motivation is simply self-centered and, you know, I only care about my own health, then it's easy to cheat and eat something that's from an animal. But the idea, I think, also is important that when people are healthy, that is an enormous gift to others. You know, it's a really very, very huge gift to others. To just not just to, you know, not just to ourselves. I mean, it's a very compassionate, enormously compassionate action to be impeccable with our own health, to take responsibility for our own health, to be mindful of the health effects of what we're eating for ourselves, the food, rest, exercise, thinking, everything. You know, because as soon as, you know, when we're not healthy, not only do we not have the best to give, so we're going to be letting the animals down, right? We're not going to have energy. We're going to be confined, you know, somehow because of our ill health, physically, maybe mentally, maybe psychologically, emotionally. We're going to be confining other people too. I mean, now they have to take care of us. Now we're somehow, forcing, others to pay with time and resources and whatever for our own situation. And we're raised in a society where I think we're just injected from the time of little infants with this mentality that the doctor will fix the problem. You know, if we have, you know, our health is not our concern. We can more or less live our lives. You know, we should, exercise. We get a few points here and there, but by and large, we exercise much less today than we ever did, and I think we eat a lot worse, and we're more sedentary, and there's a lot more chemicals and preservatives and toxic substances in our foods. And so are we really taking responsibility for our health? And I think as vegans, it's really critically important that we educate ourselves consciously and do the sort of the somewhat disciplinary effort of eating whole foods and being mindful of the consequences of where our dollars are going, to not support businesses that are polluting not only the environment but people's bodies with chemicals and preservatives, and also hiring slaves, for example, like in chocolate, a lot of chocolate and devastating rainforests, and like palm oil does, and to try to, you know, make an effort to really be as conscious as we can be in all of our consuming, because that's something we all do. We're all consuming, and we're, you know, especially as Americans, we're taught to basically turn a blind eye to the impact of our purchases. We have 5% of the population causing 25 to 30% of the pollution, and with 50% of the world's weapons spending and war mongering, at least probably more than 50%, and more than any other country of people in prison. The U.S. prison population equals the prison population of the entire rest of the world combined. We're only 5% of the population. I mean, so we have to realize that the way we're living, and the way we're consuming especially, is sending messages into our world in a very powerful way. The reason that these powerful corporations like the pharmaceutical industries and the petroleum industries and the meat, dairy, and egg industries and the biotechnical GMO industries, all these chemical industries, it's because people are buying their products. If we didn't buy their products and give them our money, then they wouldn't have this kind of power. So the whole idea here, I think, is essentially to educate ourselves, take responsibility for our health as best we can, and from a position of consciousness to realize that in many ways, everything that we're told is different than what it really is. That if we're told, you know, it becomes quite a challenge, actually, I think today, to get good information about health, for example, or about what's really happening politically, or what's happening to the environment, or, you know, I mean, so many things, it's hard to know. These accusations of fake news are flying left and right. You know, Michael Greger, who's very highly respected, I think, especially among vegans, but you know, his website, nutritionfacts.org, was on the list of 200 fake news websites that the Washington Post published. That, you know, there's a bunch of lies. You know, that veganism, you know, where he's pointing out the impact of our meals on diabetes and obesity and osteoporosis and liver disease and kidney disease. You know, he's pouring through and distilling the scientific literature, and yet, you know, there's a great fear, I think, in our society of the truth. And so as vegans, in many ways, we're saddled with this responsibility to bring the truth to other people. And I think a lot of it is not that difficult to understand with our heart. I mean, the basic truth that animals are suffering and it's not necessary to eat their flesh and secretions. It's helpful to have information that backs that up, the point of view of the environmental devastation and the real cruelty, to see some undercover videos perhaps, and to really, you know, make those connections, to understand that it's not necessary for our health. But it really does take, it really is a big learning curve, and whoever controls the flow of information in our society really controls the minds of the people. And so as vegans, I think it's so important for us to be vigilant and to do the best we can to get information that's correct. And so how do we do that? Or, you know, it's really that's one of the reasons we have this Third Thursday call. You know, the idea is to support each other in that quest. And I think, I don't want to tell anybody that I have any kind of monopoly on the truth as far as what's going on. It's hard, you know, I think sometimes I'm as bold as anybody else in terms of trying to figure out what's really going on behind the scenes with, you know, our relationship with Russia and Trump and who knows, you know, all the endless things. But I think what I am clear about is that it's absolutely impossible to trust the mainstream media. You know, the New York Times, CNN, Washington Post, MSNBC, BBC, whatever. You know, these for the most part, if they're saying it, it's probably the opposite, or something very different. And so then we're, in a sense, thrown back on our own resources, our intuition, and the alternative media, which again, we have to be careful, but to just use our wisdom, essentially, to use our wisdom, I think that's really what it comes down to be discerning. And this is not a new problem. This is the problem that's been going on for thousands and thousands of years. I was just reading recently, I'm always fascinated to study early Christianity because, you know, there's so much evidence that the early Christians were actually vegans. They didn't call themselves vegans, but that they wouldn't eat animal foods. And there's, you know, the Pythagoreans and the Essenes, are the writers that wrote about them from the early days, talked about how the Essenes and the early Jewish Christians would not eat meat. They would not even sit at the same table with people who were eating meat. That James, the brother of Jesus, would not wear any wool. He would only wear linen. So, you know, that's what they were writing about, the early Jewish Christians. And so the basic idea is that this whole movement was already going on before Jesus. You know, the Essenes, the Zarathustra, other groups, the Pythagoreans, and they were questioning, you know, the official stories. I mean, the Essenes, it's well known were always criticizing the Torah, the Pentateuch, you know, the first five books of the Bible, saying that there's some things in there that aren't right. You know, there's some things are good, but some things are not good. And the parts where God is loving, those are right. But the parts where God is, or you know, Jehovah is portrayed as being mean-spirited and vindictive and slaughtering and warring, that's a bunch of fake news. You know, that's what they were saying back, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. And so people have been wrestling with this issue for thousands of years. What is the true word? You know, what's the true teaching? What's really going on? And veganism is at the core of this. I mean, it's literally at the very root core. And so I think as people who are dedicated to bringing the vegan message to the world, we have difficult decisions to make all the time as to what we're really going to talk about and what we're going to emphasize, what's really effective, and not to talk in ways or communicate in ways where people can discount our message. And to me, one of the things is that goes in a bunch of different directions. But what I love about, for example, Cowspiracy and also What the Health is that basically it's a story. It's just Chip telling his story. So I think all of us can learn a lot from that lesson. That when we talk to other people, instead of presenting facts as this is the truth, talk about what I read this and I heard this guy say that, this expert said this, and I've read that the research says this. Tell about, you know, what our journey is, this is what we found out, and also about our own experience and how we've discovered that, gosh, you know, I don't need to eat that. I feel better. It's not deprivation. You know, I thought when I was going to go vegan that I couldn't eat cheese pizza anymore, and I was going to be somewhat deprived, but it was going to be worth it because I didn't want to cause that suffering to cows. And what I discovered is that, gosh, far from being deprived, the food is more delicious now than it ever was, and there's more variety, and it's fabulous, you know. I mean, so whatever our story is, but just to tell the truth of our story, and from my point of view, to emphasize the good news aspect of it, you know, the idea that this is really good news. It's ultimately very good news because I think people are hungry for good news. We're just bombarded with so much utterly terrible news that veganism essentially is wonderful news that we do not need to cause unnecessary suffering to animals and each other and to the earth for our food, which is our most basic activity. We can use a fraction of the land, and we can allow the earth to heal. We can allow our relationships with each other and with animals to heal. And the beautiful thing, like Silas Rao, I think we had Silas Rao on our call once. I heard a call with him the other day, but he said that when he was in Morocco recently, he was at Morocco. It was somewhere like that. He was giving a lecture to some high school students, and there's a big, you know, like a couple of hundred, like 100 people or whatever it was, students, and he asked them when he began, he said, how many of you are vegan? And only one boy raised his hand, one person. And then he said, okay, and then how many of you would willfully cause suffering to an animal? And nobody raised their hand. And he said, how many of you would do what you could to stop unnecessary suffering to animals? And they all raised their hand. And then he said, see, you're all vegan. You just are less empowered because you're not living your lives according to your beliefs and values. And that's the good news. The good news is that basically we all are vegans. We're raised in a society where we're injected with this mentality ritualistically from well-meaning people who we trust completely, and we're just insulated and numbed from what we're doing. So when we can bring the good news of our example, then we can begin to have an effect, you know. And so my big question that I got from several people, I will, it's related to this, and I'll go into it in a second, but someone has raised their hand, so I'm going to go ahead and, I don't know, it's just a wireless caller, area code 785. I'm going to unmute your phone, and you can go ahead. Hello.
Hi, Will. It's Judy.
Oh, Judy. Hi. Great. Thanks so much. I didn't know. I knew you. I wasn't sure if you were with us or not. For everyone who's listening, I sent an email. Judy and I communicated by email, and I said it would be great if she could join us on our call tonight. We haven't had a chance the last few months to talk with you, Judy. And do you have anything specifically you wanted to ask about or add to what I'm saying, or otherwise I was going to ask you to elaborate a little bit on what's going on with the vegan spirituality group and so forth. So anything you would like to contribute would be great, you know.
Well, hi, everybody. I wanted to say that I did get a chance to watch What the Health, the whole thing last night. Yeah, and I love it. It's like you say, there's different ways to get people on board, and this is one of them. And he interviews, follows three different people. One has terrible arthritis and is on a walker and is pretty young, and another guy has heart trouble, and then another person, diabetes. And so he kind of interviews them at first and sees how much medication they're on. It's phenomenal. I mean, bottle after bottle after bottle.
It's incredible.
And to take care of the side effects of that and all of that. Oh. And a lot of them for pain and depression and anxiety and all these things. So anyway, later on in the film, he goes back to them. And they've obviously, he doesn't go into the details of where they went for treatment, but that they ate a plant-based diet. And the two women, within 2 weeks, had thrown away all their medication and
really?
Were feeling much, much better. The gentleman, I think he was the one who had diabetes, and he had lowered his medication in half and in 2 weeks, and was expecting to get rid of it altogether. So that was really good. But I think the most shocking, compelling thing to me that they did, and like you said, the graphics were really good, where he's basically saying, so why will the American Heart Institute not talk to me about diet? Why won't the American Diabetic Association talk to me? And the cancer, what's the cancer one that has the pink ribbon, that one?
Susan G. Coleman?
He tried to talk to them, too.
Oh,
and they're all saying, we won't talk to you about diet. And so he throws the question out, okay, why won't they? And then he shows graphically, he'll put the name of the institute up there. It should be a scientific institute, right? He says, who are their sponsors? And lists them, and they're mostly fast food restaurants and the dairy council and, you know, all of these meat and dairy heavy companies that depend on the public wanting these foods and being addicted to them. And then he also shows the pharmaceutical companies who's supporting them. And it's largely these same groups. So I think that's extremely compelling for people who are hard to convince to see that and go, oh, my gosh, you know, this is literally a conspiracy against human health. And and we need to take charge of our own health. And so I think it's a very, very good film, and he has a little bit of footage of animals, but not anything extremely gory.
He had that one thing.
Right. He's trying to, I think, steer clear of that. in this video. But what I have found with a lot of people who went vegan for health reasons is that they find that their hearts start to open and they feel more tenderness towards animals, and then they may not even call themselves vegan at all. They, you know, they may just say, well, I'm plant-based and, you know, I try not to cheat, you know. But as time goes on, especially if they have support from us that, you know, have the whole picture of what vegan is, I think there's a really good chance of them understanding, comprehending the whole message because they have, they're not guilty anymore. They're not defending themselves like a lot of people are unconsciously defending themselves.
That
meat eaters are doing, you know.
Sure.
So anyway, I just wanted to add that. But were you wanting me to talk about the Interfaith Vegan Coalition or vegan spirituality?
I thought it would be good just to let people know a little bit about, maybe about both of them, especially the Interfaith Coalition. I actually haven't heard too much lately about that either, and I was just wondering, it's kind of tangential to what we're doing, but it's a lot of similar principles of the veganism as not just something we're doing politically and economically and as a social justice issue, but also the spiritual and psychological dimension as well. So,
right.
If there's any news at all or anything.
Yeah, we've been quietly working away, and what we're trying to do right now, our overall goal is to provide resources for individuals who want to reach out to their churches, synagogues, temples, whatever, and find inroads, find ways to introduce vegan potlucks, bring speakers in, show films, and support those people and help them figure out ways to do that will work where they are.
Right.
Because, as you know, we're wondering, with all these people, what is it, 90% of all people believe in God and have some sort of religious faith. That's a huge bunch of people that we could reach, and by saying, look, this common message of all religions of do unto others as you would have them do unto you, no matter what religion it is, let's actually do that and let's apply it to animals. And this is an ideal for humanity that we've been seeking for hundreds of generations. And so this coalition is made up of a lot of different people from different faiths. And we've got, I think, 4 or 5 volunteers so far who are working on putting together kind of calling it a kit, so that we'll have on our website, which isn't up yet, but it will be, a kit for people who want to approach a Catholic church. And then there's someone working on Buddhist stuff and Taoist and Unity, and we're trying to get volunteers that would put together something for each faith. And that way, someone could come to the website and go, I'm Catholic, and I really want to talk to my priest, and I don't know how to do it, and we'll have somebody they can call also. And flyers they can use, you know, handouts, and ideas, lists of films, books, speakers, etc. So that's the idea of it. So,
I think it's great. Obviously this is a critical thing. I mean, from a tactical point of view or strategic point of view, any movement, if you don't have the religious institutions on your side, you're not going to get really too far. I mean, it's very important because religions are supposedly the repository of ethical standards in any society. Right. And So, you know, it's just absolutely essential to make inroads there, and I think it is happening. You know, it's frustrating to see the enormous resistance, even among the progressive elements within all the different traditions, but there's definitely progress being made. And, you know, I guess people maybe read the thing I wrote about my recent visit to China and how there's so much progress being made there in veganism. And I think it's because of the religious establishments that go back many centuries that have been basically vegan-oriented. And so they have that kind of support. And then combining that with a government that is not completely beholden to corporate interests, which ours is, unfortunately, and then also having basically the idealism of the youth, who say, you know, we want to have a planet here. Now those three together, we don't have those three. We have we only have maybe the youth and the other two are missing. But we're young at heart anyway, whatever age we are. But you know, our culture has the religion and the corporations. I mean, they've got their talents right just so deep in the flesh of our society, and they just into everybody. And, you know, people. I mean, sort of the church barbecue, and they never have to worry about going to a church service and you know, ever having a minister say or a rabbi or whoever anybody say anything about let's go vegan now, everybody, and even questioning it. So. But the more
although
we can do, go ahead.
We've got Billy Graham's son,
right,
saying, and that is huge. I mean, he has got a huge following. So
I know the only thing is, it's only for his health. But I mean, hopefully, maybe like you say, if he can broaden his motivation beyond his health to include God's creation, you know, that would be nice. And,
It would. And, but I'm just really feeling like the time is really ripe. And when I saw that, Karen Davis's, United Poultry Concerns conference is centered on this question, how can we, should we try to involve religion in the vegan movement? And this is coming up, March 11th, right? And
March 11th in Berkeley.
And you're one of the featured speakers, and everybody should go if they can. It's going to be amazing. But I don't know. To me, that really indicated that the time is things are turning in this direction towards involving religion more, and people of faith and people who may just say they're spiritual but not religious. I think it's really starting to happen. And, of course, so many social justice movements have been based out of religion.
Right.
You know, Martin Luther King and civil rights. And so, we need to have that power within the vegan movement, too. And I know there's a lot of atheists in the vegan movement. But you know, we're talking about something to me, I would say that even if you're an atheist, it's your spirit that has drawn you to veganism. It's that spiritual connection you have.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So, whatever word you want to use. So, anyway, so that's the latest, and we're working away, and Thomas Jackson is part of this, and he is working on his film, The Compassion Project, that you'll be in, of course.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he's part of this too. We're kind of working together in tandem and wanting to get this all set up, as far as the website and the resources for everyone, when his film is ready. So kind of do it together sometime this summer, hopefully.
Great, and I hear you're going to be flying in from is that right, from Kansas City to Berkeley for the conference?
Right, I'll be there.
That's wonderful.
Anxious to hear your talk, and Lisa Kemmerer will be there. She's got a lot of information. And
also Sandra Higgins is going to be there from Ireland.
Oh,
Sandra Higgins.
Right.
So she's a World Peace Science facilitator, and she's amazing. I was just 11 months ago, I was staying in her in Ireland in her trailer in the freezing cold, rainy weather, and she has a an animal sanctuary. All the animals are not animals; they're people. She'll let you know right off the bat. They're not animals; they're people. And let's go out and visit the people. And she's so inspiring, this woman, and she's so inspired by these animals, by these people, by the people, the cow and pig and sheep and goat people and chicken people. Uh-huh. And she's really the driving force behind the largest, billboard campaign that the world has ever seen on promoting really great, really effective, I think very effective billboard campaign that's not only all over Europe. I mean, it's been in England, Ireland, Scotland, and I think now in France or Germany. It's come to the United States. It was in Times Square there. And so, she said the people on her sanctuary said to her, "You've got to, to create some billboards from our perspective, telling our story." And it's been so it's just grown like mad. And so she's going to be there giving a talk too, which is, I think it's so wonderful because she was so kind when I was there 11 months ago in March last year to set up lectures for me in Ireland, three different lectures, I think it was. So she'll be there, and then there'll be people, I think, on the religion panel. It'll be lectures and then a panel, and there's myself. I'm going to be actually Buddhist, and there's someone from the Hindu tradition, someone from the Christian tradition. Actually, Carol Adams will be there.
Right.
She'll be doing the Christian, and then also someone from the atheist religion. they'll be everybody will be there. I mean, I think it's there's so much misunderstanding that so many things that we could really learn, clarify, and get together on and work together more harmoniously. But to remember, like what you're talking about, Judy, I think, really is the basic fact. Like, even though, like, we talk about how Billy Graham's son, is it his son or grandson? His son, I guess, is John Deacon.
It's his son, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And we always love that because that's a leader, But but I think we have to always remember that the people have to lead. This is a grassroots movement. And if we think we're going to get leaders that are going to do a job for us, we can forget it. We're never going to get anywhere. We've got to lead. We've got to do it from the grassroots, and we've got to require leaders who are vegan. If they're not, if they're not vegan, then they're not leaders. Basically, if they're not going to help out with the program here of reducing violence and misery and exploitation and abuse and war and violence, then what the heck are they? Why are we following them? I mean, we shouldn't be following them. And so I think that's the key, is really letting so-called leaders understand this, and then voting with our feet, with our money, with everything we have, and talking and spreading this message. And I think that we are seeing definitely seeing progress being made in a number of fronts. The Unitarians have gotten to the point now where they're going to get their basic principle, which asks for compassion for all people, to be changed. They've got enough congregations to change that to all beings. And I think there's a lot of those kinds of things that are happening. And I think anyone who's on this call, if you're listening, to think if you might be open to speaking in churches in your area, whatever. The Humane Society has put out a book that talks about all the major Christian religions and how they all have a statement about compassion for animals. And I'm sure, that's part of their official official platform, that it would be nice to have people going and addressing that, and we can maybe do that. There's quite a few World Peace facilitators that go into churches. I think that it's a really great idea, to do that. That's a natural, they're natural allies. And if it's not churches, it could be it could be yoga studios, it could be meditation centers, and it could be, you know, other things too. Anything related that way. Yeah, so anything else, Judy? You want to?
I might mention, you mentioned our website, thecircleofcompassion.org, but we also have a Prayer Circle for Animals Facebook, and anyone is welcome to join that. And I'm the one of the administrators, and so I will see your name and accept you as a member, and then you can post prayers at requests for prayers for a group of animals or a particular animal, a pet who's sick, or news about animals, anything like that where you want everybody to pray for that issue. And prayers, too, are welcome, you know, special prayers that you want to share. So it's a really nice Facebook page, and I invite everybody to join that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's really, I'm glad you mentioned that. And Tara posts the weekly thoughts of the week that Judy writes every week. On the Facebook page, you can get it, you can see it, you can view it on the Facebook page, or you can also go to circleofcompassion.org where we have our worldwide prayer circle for animals, and you can sign up on your email, and I send it out by email, but we send it out by email too. So, it's very inspiring. I mean, I just want to thank you for doing that so much. It's, you've been doing that every week for quite a few years now, and it's always, something uplifting and something to give a little prayer to a certain situation or to the situation in general, and we just love to see that people from all over the world are tuning in at this level of understanding that prayer really makes a difference.
Right. Well, thanks, Will. Thanks for saying that. And I try to make it uplifting because we need to support each other too, because we get so much bad news all the time, and especially if we're online receiving emails of the latest horrible thing that's happening to animals, and it can really bring us down. And I try to focus on the fact that, like you were saying and like Salish said in that recent call, everyone is really vegan. They just don't have their actions in line with their true hearts. And that's, I think, a really uplifting thought to have. And know that people are basically loving. We start out as children loving animals and have to be taught to be cruel. And so, I really hang on to that faith, that belief, that knowledge that dwells in every human heart, that love for animals, for all life. And we just need to help everyone get their actions in line with their true heart.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Thanks. So thanks, Will, for letting me put in my two cents.
No, it's been great. Really, really great. Oh, I just so appreciate the work you've been doing and so many different levels. So thanks, Judy, for joining us.
All right.
It's been wonderful.
Thank
you,
Will.
Talk to you later. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
All right, everyone. So we have a little, it's been about an hour. We have a little more time. Press *6 if you want to ask a question, make a comment of any kind. I did want to say a few things more briefly. And essentially, I think actually when Judy just said that, we're taught to be cruel. As little children, we're not naturally that way. We're taught that. And I think that's putting it mildly. It's true, we're taught that, but I think more vividly, it's a it's really an abuse and a wounding that's inflicted on us from infancy that's devastating, and everybody, and we all go through it and we don't realize how devastating it is because we're so reduced in our capacities because of the wounding and being forced to participate in a culture where we're essentially reduced to objects, and we learn to reduce others to objects, and our natural intuitive wisdom is destroyed in many ways because that would make us too uppity, and we wouldn't go along with the program. So what veganism essentially is, it's saying I'm not going to go along with the program, and we're going to create an alternative program here. An alternative way of living. It's not part of that system of violence. And I think, you know, it's just a real clash is happening in our world today. We can see it all around us every single moment. I mean, every day when I look at what's happening on every level, it's really coming to a head here. And, you know, it may be tempting to try to solve it on the level of having a different public officials, presidents, senators, whoever, or somehow, you know, we think we can change things that way. And I think we have to remember that, unfortunately, in many ways, the situation we're in has been developing for hundreds of thousands of years. And as I point out in the World Peace Diet, the herding culture 10,000 years ago, the ranchers took over. I mean, the kings that ran things, they were basically the ranchers. When they came over here to the States, to the New World, the ones who owned the land and made the decisions were the ones who ate the most meat, who owned the cattle, sheep and goats, and they're still making the decisions, like that movie. I was glad that Judy gave the a better synopsis there of the basic message in the movie is to follow the money. Follow the money. Big pharma, big agra, they don't make money off of healthy people. There's no money. I haven't given any money at all to the medical industry in 40 years. And, you know, so the whole idea is that healthy people that aren't good for their business. And I have to say, I was really so encouraged when I saw a couple of days ago Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Just standing up to the pharmaceutical industry and saying, having this press conference in Washington, D.C., and telling it like it is, just saying that, these companies willfully, knowingly, put their profits ahead of, violence to children and to mothers. The misogyny, he said it's misogynistic. They shame, mothers know that their babies were totally fine and then they were vaccinated and they were destroyed. And they laugh at them and say they don't know what they're talking about. This misogyny, and hatred of mothers, and putting them down, and hatred of children, and destroying children for profit by the millions, is it's business as usual. And it's based on the model of animal agriculture. That's exactly what we do to pigs and cows and chickens. Those are not yours. We say to the mothers, those are not yours. Those are ours, and we'll give them vaccinations, and we'll steal them, and we'll kill them, and we'll impregnate you again, and we'll kill your kids some more, and we'll enslave your kids. It's that we are in a factory farm, basically, and it's been and the mass media will not, they basically wouldn't report his press conference. Robert F. Kennedy's been, I think, incredibly courageous. I mean, going against Big Pharma is like going against the Big Bang, and the Big Bang's, the wars are put on by the bankers and this whole huge system. And I think essentially as vegans, we lift up the flap of the tent. We look in that we kind of suddenly realize, perhaps. I mean, a lot of vegans don't. I don't think actually get this, but really, when we see what's happening. I mean, this morning, I guess it was, or maybe it was yesterday, Dennis Kucinich, who I love. You know, he's a vegan, former congressman from Ohio. He was interviewed on Fox News about what's been happening lately with the what he calls the intelligence community, basically taking over the country, you know, basically attacking the president and destroying the president and taking over the country because he won't go along. You know, he's questioning pharmaceuticals, he's questioning the war with Russia, he's questioning war, and they don't want that. And I think here we are as people, we see the war against other people, we see the war against animals, we see the war against nature, against future generations, against hungry people, and we see what do we do in the face of this to get to the roots of it. And the more and more I come back to this basic idea that it's very important for us to be innocent and in the sense of being pure of heart and just cultivating loving kindness for all living beings, but also to be wise, I mean, also to be perceptive, to be intelligent, to see what's actually going on in the patterns in our society, not to be gullible and naive and believe the official stories that we're hearing that they want us to think about being attacked by other countries and so forth. We got to realize that, you know, follow the money, like Tippin Keegan did in the movie. And like we do as vegans, you know, just really follow the money and be aware. But ultimately, that our greatest power to make positive change is in our own lives as vegans, to bring this message. If we don't, if our society does not go vegan, if we keep eating meat, dairy products, and eggs, then for sure, I've written about this a number of times, we will self-destruct. I mean, there's no way we won't, because our technology is so hideously strong, and we can cut down rainforests so quickly, we can blow each other up with nuclear warheads, and it looks like, you know, there's powerful forces that are pushing in that direction. So we live in critical times, and this is really the greatest gift we can give to the world, is to embody vegan values and to just present ourselves as vegans I don't want to say with pride, but, you know, without, you know, unabashedly, as saviors, really, quite honestly, of our race. Because without veganism taking hold, the forces of violence just continue to gyrate out of control, and confusion and chaos continue to increase, because animal agriculture is traumatic on every level. It's just traumatizing to the animals, to ecosystems, and then to children who eat this stuff. And we create these corporations that are based strictly on animal agriculture. Pharmaceutical industry is based on animal agriculture. In Monsanto and the big chemical industries that are polluting so much are based on animal agriculture. And so the whole idea is to, we don't have to have any anger in our hearts at all. I mean, I think that's very important, to cultivate a sense of kindness and compassion, understanding that we're all wounded. And who are we to hate people who are wounded? They're wounded. They're just wounded. Where you take a little infant and start, making them be born in situations where they're not loved and connected to the earth and to their mothers and fathers properly, and they're forced to compete in systems, they're forced to eat toxic foods, they're disconnected from their natural compassion. It's terrible wounding. So I think as vegans, what we're doing essentially is we're working as hard as we can to heal these wounds in ourselves, and then to adopt the mentality of inclusion. And that's, I think, very important, because the only way we can do what we do to animals is because we've excluded them from our sphere of concern. We just say, well, I don't care about those cows and pigs and chickens and fishes. And we exclude them, and then as vegans, we wake up and we go vegan, but now we're still so wounded and we're still so deeply infected with this mentality of exclusion that we see other human beings who are still eating animals, and we say, well, I'm going to exclude them because they're not living the way they should. And it's the same mentality. It's this exclusion. So we don't have a sense of loving kindness for them in our hearts and see that they're wounded, and it's because of their wounded that they're hurting others. And if we hold them with anger or hatred or ill will in our hearts, then they're already down. I know they're harming other beings, but we're just contributing to making it even worse for them. They're not going to change from hatred. You know, hatred does not cure hatred. Indifference does not cure indifference. Love is what really heals indifference and ill will and abuse, and that's the fundamental truth that eventually we're going to learn, you know, in this life or the next or the next or the next or the next. And that was the question, essentially, that people have been asking me. They've just been saying, you know, how do you stay positive in the face of all of this news and what's happening? So that's a huge question, you know, and the whole World Peace Diet facilitator training is essentially about that. The World Peace Diet, I think, in many ways is about that. It's about understanding that veganism is something that has stages, and we need to mature in our veganism. I'm also, I wrote a book called Your Inner Islands, The Keys to Intuitive Living, which I never published as a regular book. It was on our CD, which is an enhanced CD. So that means that if you put this CD, it's called Islands of Light, into a regular CD player, it plays music. But if you put it into a computer, in the old days when you could put CDs into computers, a PDF of this book I wrote called Your Inner Islands would come up automatically. And several people, Christine and some other people who've gone through the training, said, you know, this Inner Islands book you wrote, in many ways it's a kind of a follow-up to the World Peace Diet. It gives the spiritual teachings for developing intuition. And so she was encouraging me to make it into a regular book, and I decided she's right. I think I will make it into a regular book. So I've been working on that the last couple of weeks and editing it pretty significantly, because I wrote it about 10 years ago. And so the good news is that I think there's a lot of teachings in this new book that will help us to deepen our understanding of ourselves and our true nature, that we're not fundamentally a separate self. And so this book, Inner Islands, basically it's a allegorical book where we go on a journey from this shore to the other shore, and the journey represents crossing the sea of conditioned existence of our mind, and there are these six islands along the way. And so to get to the other shore is the great goal, fully develop spiritual intuitive wisdom, but it's difficult. It's a very challenging voyage. There are these six islands along the way, and each island has teachings and meditations and music and art and so forth. It's like a multimedia thing. And the island of understanding, the island of energy, the island of meditation, the island of imagination, the island of relationship, and the island of compassion. And I'll let everybody know when that's going to be actually published. Hopefully, maybe by next March, it'll be actually done. I mean, it's a matter of just seeing how long it takes to print things and deciding if we're going to have it just published by Amazon, print on demand, or not. I'm not sure, but it's exciting, I think, because as I've been reading it, I've been feeling that there's a lot more that we need, each one of us, I think, to be effective advocates to do the inner work of, you know, to say the word meditation, for example, or to say the word prayer, or to say the word imagination or inner discipline. But there's just, I think, so much progress that we can make by cultivating our consciousness. And that through that we can begin to realize the bigger picture and to realize that we are here on this earth not just as a material object that was born and will die. We are an expression of something far greater than that. And our life has got far more significance than that. And this is not what it appears to be. And when we can realize this on a deep level intuitively, it can be liberating so that we can be effective without burning out. We can do the work we are called to do, and the hooks that would normally grab us don't have anywhere to grab, or at least they have less. they don't hurt quite so much because we can see the transiency of existence and the bigger framework within this is all arising. So consciousness has been essentially stripped away from us in our society. We're taught that we're just material things. Animals are just material things. And once we begin to actually realize the significance of our true nature as expressions of eternal consciousness, that we have a mission here, and we're in this mission, we only have a few decades to do it, so let's get on the ball here and do our mission and work together. And maybe we all made agreements before we were born to get together and work together and do something significant to help suffering beings. And this is the reminder, in a sense, that we all need to not be distracted and hypnotized by the siren calls of the mass media and of the internal programming. A lot of what we have internalized needs to be jettisoned, really, and replaced with more accurate understanding of the nature of reality. And so that's something that no one can do for anyone else. This is something that each one of us can only do for ourselves. We each do it within the sacred temple of our own awareness, and then with the sacred temple of our daily life and our daily relationships with each other. And it's an enormous undertaking, really. We're forging a new trail in many ways for others to follow. And it takes extra energy and commitment to do that, and it can be discouraging. But the more I think we can be true to the calling and to support and love each other and to refrain from condemning and criticizing each other, to realize that, yes, we have all been wounded by being raised in this society, and we're on the path of healing and awakening. And that means questioning. And not just questioning some things, but really questioning even the most obvious, the things that we think are so obviously true may not actually be the way we think they are. So I don't see anyone else with a star six up, and it's about time for us to wrap up. So I want to just close. I want to mention that, you know, please have a look at your resources for February. There's so much happening here. I do want to follow up with that thought that Judy had just very briefly, that religion. I think religion, there's a lot happening with, like in the inner cities, Louis Farrakhan and other groups, and also like the Planned Parenthood Nation. There's a lot of groups that are really understanding that empowerment comes from the grassroots. And we're not here to live as people who just believe the official stories, to really question what's going on and to create a grassroots movement. The key is grassroots. I think it has to be at the grassroots. And that's why Madeline and I travel so much, just speaking at the grassroots and encouraging local groups, encouraging local meetups, local veg fests, local cooking classes, anything you can do locally. And local is also like what we're doing now. This is grassroots too, you know, internet or social media, or, you know, this kind of, this is the grassroots. This is people to people. And it'll get, as we get strong here, we're unstoppable, because this is where it really, and real grassroots is within our own consciousness. That's the real grassroots. So, yeah, keep nurturing those roots and doing the weeding and pouring on lots of water and eating really healthy food and taking care of yourself and loving, really love yourselves. You're so beautiful. All of you are so beautiful. If you're in this, you know, making these efforts, very often you're not getting nearly the credit you should be getting. And I just love you all so much for who you are and what you're doing. So, yeah, just have a look through the resources. Wonderful interview with Marlene, or with Robin Miller on Vegan Nation. I have a link to that. It was great hearing from Marlene last time. This new movie, The Connected Universe. Also have a, you know, check out the, it's not out yet for everyone, but it's coming out soon, the What the Health film, as we talked about. And I won't go into everything else, but there are some interesting things here. There's a new animal welfare investment program, so people want to know how they can invest their money, and it's not going to hurt any animals. So we found, people have always been asking me that, where can I put my money? Anyway, there's some good, there's a nice listing of all the VegFests worldwide. I mean, it's so great to see there's hundreds of VegFests now. I mean, these are great ways to bring the message to the so-called masses. And, yeah, lots of good things. So check that out. Stay in touch. Somebody's just raised their hand. Okay, maybe quickly have this looks like it's area code 405. Okay, go ahead. Hello. Are you there? I just unmuted a phone. It says Robertson. I'm not sure if that's the person.
Hi, Will. This is Christina in Oklahoma. I've met you and Madeline when you came to Oklahoma City, and I go to Lily's Sunday. Hi. I go to Lily's Sunday study group, Wolfie's Diet Sunday.
Right. Hi.
And I just have a brief bit of very encouraging news.
Great.
Just very quickly, I learned today, and I was encouraged to see that a publication that comes from AARP, Medicare publication, an insurance company, puts this out, and so something coming from such a status quo and establishment as that industry has now in this magazine called Renew, it has 4 vegan recipes, and they actually look quite delicious, and they're completely vegan, chili-dusted butternut squash fries, Asian-inspired Napa cabbage wraps, real portobello mushroom steak, and the ingredients have tahini in it and red pepper, completely vegan. And it says, sign into your plan website and click on the My Health and Wellness tab for a delicious vegan potato lasagna. So
you're
getting...
Oh, wow. They actually use the word vegan. They don't just say plant-based.
Well, I think that we're becoming so mainstream that vegan is perhaps being interchangeable almost with plant-based. So I'm going to just start mentioning when I do use the word vegan, I'm just going to call myself an ethical or compassionate vegan to make that distinction just lightly. But yeah, I find it very, we're being noticed. So that's a bit of news. And thank you so much for everything that you do. I just love you. And thank you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much. Wonderful to hear from you. Thanks so much. Oh, great. Bless you. All right. Thanks, Christine. Wow, yeah, we remember very well when we were in Oklahoma City. I think it was, I don't know when it was, a year ago maybe. And, speaking there and meeting Christine, and she's with Lily's call for a long time. I want to mention that, too. That's still going, everyone. So just be aware that on every Sunday, at the usual time, at the usual phone number, you can go, if you're not sure what that is, just go to our website, wellbeside.com, and click on upcoming events, and at the very top, it's right there. information, and I'll do it right now just to make sure, because I think it's really, yep, clicking on upcoming events, and if you go to there, and so I have to actually update that. But anyway, so it says World Peace Diet Sundays. It has the phone number and the code, and there's a hiatus happening with Lily. Typically, it's reading the World Peace Diet and discussing it, but until April, I do have it updated. There's the a discussion facilitated by Marlene Narrow and Joanna Blad on the boomerang effect, and I'm sure that's going very well. So it's a great way to just to learn and grow and discuss together every Sunday. So yeah, I'm glad I thought of that. Thank you, Kristen. And so let's see. I'm trying to think if there's anything else the pressing. Just much love to everyone. So next meeting we'll have on the third Thursday of March will be on March 16th. So we will have just been at the Berkeley Conscious Eating Conference, and there's more I could perhaps say about that, but I will maybe I'll talk about that after it happens. I think it's a lot we need to learn about the religious perspective and veganism and social transformation and spirituality and so forth. So it's very important that we make an effort on those fronts. And maybe by then our new book will be out too. That'll be kind of fun also. So I guess before we sign off here and say goodbye, I just want to thank everyone for joining us. Thank you for all your efforts. Hold you in our hearts, both Madeline and I, and we can perhaps say the prayer together in spirit. That is the prayer we say every day at noon. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. And we know that all beings are in our hearts of compassion. As we do what we can, we are born into a situation that's been going on for a long time, and here we are. So how do we respond to the situation that we find ourselves in a way that's really effective and on every level? And I think it's beautiful to see. Oh, and by the way, there's quite a few summits that I'm speaking in over the next couple of weeks. Steve Pusak's doing one on vitality. This other woman's, wonderful woman, doing one, another vegan one, vegan plant-based nutrition something, and another of Secrets of Champions. I just was in that one, and there's quite a few. Anyway, it's nice to see these online events where people are able to get information. That's what we're talking about here. You know, the whole idea of how do we get information that's accurate, that's real. We have to do it ourselves. And that's what's great, I think, in many ways about the time we're living in. We can unplug from the mass media lies and fake news and talk among ourselves like this. So thank you for the efforts again you're making. And until we see you next time, we hear each other. I'll hold you in my heart, and we'll go out with a short piece. Let's see, what would be a good piece? Maybe, oh gosh, a turkey song, I think. Turkeys really need all our support, and we have lots of wild turkeys around here still. So may you have a beautiful month, and thanks again. Much love. And here we go. Okay, good night, everyone. Thank you.